I'm Rudy Roe Dallaflo Bigliani, along with my partner Telly TJ Vangeli. This is Cross Vegas. After years of sowing seeds of faith as up-and-coming televangelists, TJ and I crashed into our new endeavor of being social mediators for the kingdom right here in Las Vegas. We're demonstrating the blessing that he wants for you in our latest project of prosperity at Cross Vegas. Come join us as we bring the redemption of riches to the Sin City. Remember, what happens here stays in heaven.
And now, a word from our sponsors. At Five Fourths Bank, we're good at owning a bank, but bad at math. Founded as a merger between Wu Xiangfen, makers of Chinese Five Spice Powder, and Fidelity Retirement Funds, Five Fourths Bank knows how to keep your money growing in a robust portfolio yielding regular investment dividends, along with exciting, unexplained accounting mistakes that make it look like you got rich overnight. We promise that we'll never explain to regulators what happened, because we genuinely won't know how to. There's no accountant who will work here for more than a week, which gives you the extra time you need to spend down that unearned windfall. Your money is safe with us because we do lots of safety with your money. Come visit one of our full-service branches to experience the five-fourths difference in customer care, which is consistently rated 25% higher than our competitors. Or they're rated 20% lower than us. We haven't decided which is the right way to calculate it. Bring in your loose change, we'll eyeball the pile of metal discs and give you back some bills with different numbers and presidents on them. Five Fourths Bank. Improper fractions, more errors in your favor. Improper fractions, better service. Oops. Sounds like another happy customer.
Well, okay, dear listeners, my oh my, it is so good to hear my own voice, and it's so good to know that other people are hearing our voices as well, wherever you may be across the fruited plains. Thanks for making us and making this ministry a part of your day.
It is a lovely day here in Cream City. Outside in Sacktown, they are dancing in the streets for some unknown ethnic holiday. I don't know what it is. Diwali, maybe. Something's happening that people are happy about, and I'm getting good vibes right off of the streets.
That's right. It's so great to be in such a multi-ethnic, multiverse, such as not only Las Vegas, but the whole world that we get to interact with on a daily basis, whether it's through the social medias or through the old holy prayer that we find ourselves in with a whole host of people all over the world that are just picking up on our vibes and the spirit that we're slinging around.
You know, people are asking us, hey, where are you going to church these days? And I always say, well, we're going to our own church. What do you think? And really what that means is we go to the corner of our property nearest to the abandoned Taco Bell that still has Wi-Fi, and we get on our phones and we start doing our thing, scrolling, holy scrolling is what I like to call it, and that is really mostly what we do for church these days. But we are blessed to live at the ministry property of Cross Vegas, which is coming into some new business ventures, my friend Rudy.
We got new wineskins, and these are the type of wineskins that are maybe something that some of you listeners get a bit tangled up in your wineskins about. And it's an area that I believe needs a lot more attention in this country, because we know the government has been turning a blind eye to everyone's health care for quite some time now, and we've decided to take it up as a new cause. Without any further ado, we'd like to present to you our brand new cost-sharing insurance company of upright, healthful Faith Care.
That's right. Upright Healthful Faith Care Ministries LLC is going to be a fully owned subsidiary of the, you know, the ministry that we do, whose name I forget off the top of my head, but it ends in LLC, of the Greater Southwest. You know which one I'm talking about. We actually have so many of these now. We've been opening up so many different schemes. I can barely keep track of which one's the main one. But Upright Healthful Faith Care Ministries, just picture this, if you will. What if there was a way for people to pool their resources with other human beings to make sure that when healthcare expenses come your way, there's a way for that not to catastrophically tank your finances? What if there was a way, Rudy? And that is what we're trying to answer, kind of in a more biblical way than some of those secular schemes out there right now.
Yes, that's right, TJ. We've been really educating ourselves about all this because, as I can speak for myself, I have not been one of them that puts their faith in the insurance companies. I'd rather put my faith in the Lord. But I realize that in some ways I need to appeal to the weaker brother. And, you know, I think a lot of people are overwhelmed, and we know that the devil's in the details. But we truly feel like we've come up with in our own, in the divine wisdom that we've been given, a way to serve others and truly a way to be God honoring.
So why don't we dive into the inner workings of this new mechanism? It's really simple. So with our health plan through Upright Healthful Faith Care, all you need to do is name it and claim it. You name what's going on, you know, my brain is leaking out my ears. You claim the healing you want, and our prayer bots receive those claims and give you a response within milliseconds. So all you got to do, you don't pay a dime, right? You don't pay a dime if you get sick. You don't pay anything unless the healing comes through. It's kind of like one of those personal injury lawyers who do such good business for people, you know. You don't win, you don't pay. So what I'm going to do is have our prayer bots send up a prayer for you for every claim that you name. And as the scriptures say, the prayer of a righteous man availeth mightily. So when our bots, who are programmed to be completely sinless, send up a Protestant-style Hail Mary, you are getting the best possible chance of being heard by our Father in Heaven. And if you are not healed, you can always appeal that faith claim by sending in a faithful offering, which will induce the Lord to see your faith and to judge righteously on your behalf, which is beyond the fathoming of humans. So we don't necessarily say anything when you appeal. You just send in some money.
That's right. I mean, this is just, it's so simple. Just like you said it. I mean, let's put these two things against each other. On one hand, you could go to some so-called doctor and pay over $1,000 just for them to tell you to go home and take some aspirin, or you can claim it, fire up a prayer bot who will also be claiming it, get yourself healed, and then you have to pay a little bit. But a lot of people are wondering, well, what if it's a real serious injury? What if I get some sort of disease, some sort of ailment that was really going to take me down? Well, we know from Scripture that all that is really a matter of unconfessed sin. And you might not know it until the illness just keeps hampering on you and bringing you down. So in that case, there is some upfront that needs to be paid, but that's just so that you can make a quality confession in the presence of another prayer bot. And then for those serious things, the prayer bot will cover it as receiving your confession.
And I love that because it prompts repentance along with the healing, which is often what we see Jesus doing in his ministry. He says, go and sin no more, and here's your leg back. to the lady caught legless that one time. And maybe I'm getting that mixed up with something. But really what we're looking at here is, given that Americans are going to use their freedom by eating some freedom fries on our way to some heart conditions, let's figure out how to make our freedom work for us instead of against us. You know, and covering everyone, that gets pricey, right? Like, you just gotta select out the faithful, truly penitent, generously enlarged heart, and then you got a different story. You know, every morning you wake up, you rent a prayer bot for that day, that's a day you are entered into the coverage lottery. All the excitement of the lottery combined with the prosaic reality of paying for health care.
And one of the great things about it is you don't need a second opinion, because we're all coming to one great physician. And it's all in network, because all of our prayer bots are operating on the same network. And so for that reason, we can have faith knowing that this is true, and we're not going to be trying to run some misdirection on you. We're trying to run some trick play up through the middle on you. But we truly are bringing the smarts that we've been given and the technology that we've been given, and we're going to make it work for you and your physical health, which will result in spiritual health, and your spiritual health will then feed back into your physical health.
I love that. And we know that when we visualize our glorified body every day and claim it in faith, we don't really need to do preventative care. I mean, really, preventative care is wrong. It's just something that you do when you lack faith and you don't know why you're doing what you're doing or what it's going to result in. You just need to say, you know, I'm going to wake up today and do whatever the Holy Spirit wants me to do. Any exercise He wants me to do, I'm going to do that one. What a devoted and free personal trainer the Holy Spirit is. You know, why should I get up and have a plan if I know that the Holy Spirit can tell me right now what is the exercise you need to do to be at your max performance? Because I think that's the one thing that we need to remember about the Christian life. The one word that you need to know about the Christian life is performance. And if you give me 5 words, it would be the society of the spectacle. But one word would be performance. Everybody knows that men are better drivers than women. But the reason is we got bigger muscles from steroids and better circulation from erectile dysfunction medication. So if you want those kind of performance-enhancing things covered, that's in. In our plan, which a lot of insurance doesn't do for you, in our plan, anything that makes you better, like stronger and faster and all that, that's what we cover. Something that makes you better, like you were sick and then you got better, maybe there's some coverage there, but none of this preventative stuff. You know what else isn't covered? Nothing about probing, no penetration, no colonoscopies, no stents, no prostate exams, but all the external stuff is.
And I think we've gone through a lot of thinking and theologizing about that. And I believe it's true. But there is a slight, I know some of our listeners are going to point out that we were penetrated by a number of COVID vaccines. And so we do have to tell you that our habits on that are going to need to change, because we want to align ourselves under this new type of healthcare, and that will mean some sacrifices on our part, and one of those is the whole insertion of the COVID vaccine.
Well, we haven't finalized our thinking on that. I don't know if I quite agree with that. I think the reason why we wouldn't cover it is if you're trying to keep from getting sick. That's the worst reason to take a vaccine. But what if you're trying to take it like we are to get better, like I just was talking about, you know, the ED? Like, if you're taking a vaccine for the same reason as an ED medication, you're moving right in the spirit of our plan.
Right. And I do think maybe there is some sort of cream that could be used. Like, I've been hearing about some deer antler spray that you can put on different things, and it works wonders. But once again, that's a topical thing. We're all about that, and trying to stay on topic. I got to admit, there's some people out there that are probably a little suspicious and skeptical about what we're doing just because you've been that type that didn't like insurance, or you are that type of person that was scared off by all the details. And I just want to tell you here, as just being as upfront as possible and authentic, that I was that man. And I'll tell you something, TJ, you probably know this, that when we had our accident that led to our meeting and to this glorious new ministry, I was not insured at that time. And I was really under the insurance of the government, basically that plan where you can go to the emergency room and they just cover it and you just make your way out the door before they, you know, anyway. And so for this reason, I'm proud to say that now I've been educated and I'm going to be part of something that's so much bigger than just this, the government's hands or human hands, but I'm going to be in his heavenly hands as part of this new upright, healthful faith care.
You know what, I love what you just said there about being in the right hands. That reminds me of how we got a really excellent deal to become one of the first corporate customers to have our healthcare data secured by LifeSteal.com. Now, you've heard some ads from LifeSteal. They've been one of our first sponsors to make any repeat appearances. We love LifeSteal. They don't steal your life. They surround your life with steel. Sometimes you got to spell it out because some people are like, that sounds like identity theft. But no, you're just hearing those words because they're selling identity theft assurance services. In any case, your electronic health records will be secured by LifeSteal.
And rest assured, any ad that you hear on this podcast is not just something we're throwing out there because we're going to get a dollar or two. Absolutely not. We are fully invested and we consider ourselves a part of that, and that we utilize those same products and services. So when we put it on this podcast, we do it because we've used it. And my life has not been stolen yet. And in fact, it has been strong and made of steel.
And we want to let you know that this is the return, the triumphal return, if you will, of private health insurance into this world after these years in the wasteland of Medicaid expansions and affordable care. No, we're going to move right back into what has been a hallmark of the United States in the developing world. Everybody knows we got the best. Everybody knows we're doing what we need to do with our dollars, super efficient, to privatize this. Now, all the costs and complications that we've been hearing about, that is because of deprivatization. Deprivatization is a depravitization. Mm. When you make something not private, you make it depraved.
That is such a good word. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because when we look at that big picture, TJ, we are coming back to the glory hole days of privatization. Amen.
And it's even more private than most of the regular private businesses, because in this case, the government won't even know about it or else they'd shut us down. So it's going to be so private that you need to sign a non-disclosure agreement if you have our insurance plan. You're not allowed to tell anybody that you have it. Might hurt our sales a little bit, but I think that if no one in the government ever finds out about this, that'll be the real victory.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and then we're just going to have our own upright, healthful faith care.
You know, we talked earlier about preventative care and how that's, you know, how that's for the weak of faith. And I just want to give a little word about this to our listeners. So is God more glorified by the 99 who get a concerning screening and an outpatient polyp removal, or the one who gets stage 7 heart cancer, has to be rushed to the ER, driver of the ambulance closes his eyes and starts praying, the ambulance runs over a drug dealer who is drug dealing in the road, then the driver freaks out and throws the dead body in the back with the guy with the heart cancer, then they all go to the hospital, They see the drug dealer is dead. They also observe that he has generously marked his suspended driver's license with an organ donor indicator. So they draw and quarter him, or whatever they need to do to get at the goodies. They take his evil heart, replace the cancer heart in a quick swap, hook up the tubes, suture up the openings. Then the original guy walks out of the hospital, glory be to God. Then he runs straight into the crowd of people saying, "How could you just run over my son with an ambulance like that?" And the guy's like, "Your son and the Son of God have collaborated to save my life." And they all cheer when they hear the story and start inviting the guy to barbecues. And he brings the mac and cheese one time and it gets a lot of laughs. But then he humbles himself, goes to the drug dealer's uncle, who is famous in the community for his mac and cheese, and the guy begs him to hang out and teach him the secrets. And for a while the uncle says, "No, you done killed my nephew and you're some kind of Frankenstein who haunts all our parties now." But the guy's like, "No, God has given me a new life and I'm not gonna waste my shot." So the uncle finally relents and teaches him, and the guy gets so good that eventually they start sending him invitations to parties where the real address and day are listed instead of fake ones. And the new mac and cheese is so good, they all just can't stop, and neither can this guy. So much so that he becomes a pillar of the community, and they all get heart disease, and they have to go wait around the hospital on the list waiting for another hit-and-run accident so he can get a new heart again, along with the whole community. And that is the story of the gospel right there. We know there are no such things as accidents.
And TJ, just let me do the punchline on that story. And then the doctor says, "I can't operate on my son," because the doctor was one of them female nurse doctors, right? Oh man, I love that story. Thank you for bringing that one to light. And you know what caught my ear when you were telling that is, what kind of sin does someone have to do in order to get a bad case of heart cancer? I mean, wow. I think my uncle had a bad case of heart cancer, and that's why I was growing up. I was wondering, what sin do you have to do to get that? But wow, what a testimony that was, and whew, brings a tear to my eye.
So what about our spokesman? We've been talking about the ministry itself, but we'd love to get some people in here, you know, some folks who believe in performance medicine. Might be Barry Bonds, you know, might be Mark McGuire, might be Fernando Tatis Jr. Any of these people could be our spokesman. Who do you think's most likely? And listeners, please do tweet at us at Thirst Trap of Living Water with your recommendations, especially if you know any personal details about any of these potential spokesmen, people who've been canceled and canned by Major League Baseball and other left-wing organizations.
Yeah, so just bring those out of the woodwork, whether it be Baroid or even someone that you think really didn't get caught or you suspected, like Lenny Dykstra. Just add your comments, and I think that would be a great suggestion. We'll kind of go about this democratically as we collect them tweets.
I think one correction there. We're going to go about it republicratically.
Oh, I apologize there. That's my bad. Republicratically. And man, that's the way to do it right now, isn't it?
Dear listeners, if you want to sign up for our Healthful Faith Care Ministries insurance plan, we encourage you to look us up on the dark web, Thirst Trap of Living Water. We're on tour. We're on, we got a Bitcoin wallet set up there, and that's exactly where you can privately engage your new private insurance system right to our prayer box. Welcome to Turnt or Burnt. This is the longest running, longest liked segment that we've ever done. It is a perennial favorite of everyone who has ever written into us. We love telling you what's up, what's down, what's good, what's bad, what's hot, what's cold, what is of the devil, and what is of St. Paul. So, first thing here, Rudy, people have been sending some migrants from Florida and Texas, or just Texas or something like that. Florida people are involved somehow. Anyway, they're sending them to Washington, D.C. and Martha's Vineyard, where all of the liberalist libs live, to just show them what it's like to be in the panhandle of Texas or in the panhandle of Florida. They both got a panhandle. So either one of those being overrun by immigrants, and they just want to show them buses full of these folks. Here's what it's like. And Rudy, with this whole situation, the question that no one in the mainstream media is brave enough to ask is, why are these Venezuelans leaving Venice in the first place? Turn to Bernd.
Well, first of all, I think the thing that stuck out to me, number one, was why weren't they sending them to Las Vegas? That was just my first thought that came to my mind. And then the second thought I had was, how do you get a bus to take you to Martha's Vineyard? I thought it was like an island, but there was just a lot of transportation geographical questions that I had. I know that you've been to D.C. before a couple of times.
Allegedly.
Oh, right. And I don't know if you took a bus or not, but I think my interest was really piqued, and I guess maybe bus trips are happening more in those panhandling parts of the country. I gotta say that I just think it's turnt because I like bus trips, and I'm kind of wondering if there is maybe a couple of two or three of them people in the panhandle that would be willing to organize a charter bus for a couple of up and coming young ministers of faith like ourselves to have a trip to Martha's Vineyard. What do you think about that, DJ?
Yeah, I think it's turnt, but except that I don't like how these government benefits are going to the migrants. And, you know, going to D.C. to see the cherry blossoms, like maybe I did one time, I don't remember, and to Martha's Vineyard, you know, vacation destination of the coastal elite. I mean, there's got to be something worth doing there. So maybe what we got to do, though, Rudy, is prove that we also have legitimate asylum claims, well-founded fears for our safety where we are, so that we could get across these state borders and get taken to these really nice places, you know, especially springtime, summertime. By all accounts, anyway, I can't say that I've ever seen them up close.
That's a good point. And I also just want to take this moment just to say that I know that you know, that some of the intentions are a bit misconstrued, but it's just very kind of these very kind people from Florida and Texas to send these people to good places like Martha's Vineyard in D.C. when they could have sent them to some real dumpy places. And I just the goodness in their hearts to do that was just a real testimony to me.
Yeah, I love that. Now, we've got this well-founded fear of cancel culture that follows us around anywhere we go. So I feel like we don't have to say Las Vegas or Nevada or Clark County or any of these places are real bad for us, per se, because where we're getting our well-founded fears is actually from getting banned from the Twitterverse, which is like a real virtual land filled with trolls and other magical creatures. So anytime we tweet and get some hating on us, we can say, well, that's a real well-founded asylum granted and kind of fear no matter where I am.
Well, that's so true. I feel like we could become asylum seekers and so many different levels. I feel like the reason we're even in Las Vegas right now is just because we needed to get away from some negativity that was brought on by other states, governments. But we don't really need to get into that. All I can say for all the listeners is we were seeking asylum when we crashed into each other. And I think at other points we've been in danger on in the Twitter sphere and on the socials. So therefore, load me onto a bus, baby.
Yeah, and I'll just say one last thing that a little bit of confusing here, but I want to honor these migrants for seeking asylum. So if you want to live in an old haunted asylum outside of town, who are we to stand in the way of those dreams? You know, just because the dreams are nightmares doesn't mean they're not American dreams. There's no finer thing than to wish you were American, even though we'll do everything we can to keep that from happening. All right, next up, Sean Futchitz. Now, we heard about this one from our dear friend at Philadelphia 7J Sixers 69. Now, hang on a second. Philadelphia 7J Sixers, I just got to tell you know, you're just being too obvious with your faith at that point. You're just inviting persecution for your faith. You might as well be at John 369. But anyway, we got Sean Futchitz.
I think Foyt? He pronounced, yeah.
Foyt. Is it Futz? Yeah. It's Futz, I think it's, isn't it?
Fuchs, or, yeah, Futz.
It's
Fucht. Yeah.
So what does he do? What are we talking about him for?
Well, first of all, this is a very nice, incredible, well-built man, flowing blonde hair. Aside from, very, very curly, kind of an old Jerry Curl kind of a hairstyle. And this man is singing the praises, creating music, and it's a music and a hymnal, I'll say, for our day. As a side note, if I had that type of lettuce flowing down, that would be a mullet for sure. And I wouldn't just go straight long hair, kind of like an 80s cut. I would go like 80s mullet cut, Tennessee top hat, old Kentucky Falls, Missouri Compromise type of situation. But turned or burnt, because, he's been making new hymns for the modern age. And I feel like he's kind of encroaching in on some territory that we've kind of been hoeing out.
You know, with his MAGA hymns, which I understand them to be, he's making a lot of money. And that, if you recall from our last episode, was one of the motivations for firing up our praise bots. I think our bots are better and more original. You know, you hear Sean F's hymns, and they're really just things you'd hear at any old Trump rally or any old Patriot church. I feel like with our praise bots, they're more like a totally original, auto-generated, fire-and-forget weapon where you just let them ride and you just let them up their praise game based on their environment, exactly what comes back to them. We got them set up so they sing more songs depending on how controversial the other one was, you know, just assuming that that's exactly what should be happening when you Mad Lib a praise song. You know, the libs get mad when you Mad Lib, and that's, I think, a real test and triumph of the praise bots. And just like we know about machines, if you do them right, machines can't make mistakes. They're just numbers and electricity doing math to make money.
That's so true, and that's a very similar conclusion that I've come to. I have to say on this topic that Sean Fuji's hair is definitely turnt, but the music is burnt, because when you put it up alongside our praise bots, it's like one of them's kind of going sell out mainstream, but we're like that cool garage band that everybody's talking about, that everybody's sharing on MySpace, and that everybody's burning CDs of, and maybe selling them out of the trunk of their car. I mean, that's the type of, you know, slapping stuff that we got going. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, we could get that more exposure, but I feel like the more exposure, you know, putting it in a rally or something would actually take away from how hip these praise bots have become.
That's right. The rally goers these days, they're singing the classic rock. They just want to hear Born in the USA. They wouldn't know a modern day praise bot hymn if it slapped them right upside the face. So Sean, we're just going to, now we got to get this right, man. So this guy, like many of us, he's got to decide between his German heritage and profanity, because I don't know how to say his D-A-double-M name any which way. And this is on him. He could have Americanized his bad name many years ago and avoided us all this trouble.
Oh, absolutely. So to Sean, just clean it up, brother.
Okay, here, Rudy, turn to Bernd. Michael Flynn claiming that the Bible wrote the Constitution.
You know, when I saw this headline coming up and I saw some of the talking heads on TV and Twitter discussing this, it kind of hit me like, well, duh. I think it's turd, but I don't understand why people are thinking that this is such a new and interesting idea. Of course, the Bible wrote the Constitution. All you got to do is you read the Constitution and you read Scripture, and it's basically the same thing. It's kind of like when you read like the book of Matthew and then you read the book of Mark, and you're like, maybe is this one just like a longer version of the other one? Or sometimes when you watch a movie and then you watch that same movie on television, and the one is longer than the other, but the other one's got the commercial breaks, but they're basically the same thing, except they don't have some of those, you know, like nudie scenes, and some of the swear words have been changed. And that's the type of thing that we get when we look at the Constitution and we look at the Word. So I mean, it's turnt, but I don't understand why people are getting so uptight about it.
Yeah, I love that. Constitution is the shorter Bible, right? It's like the Constitution is that G-rated version of the Scriptures. You don't have Lot and his daughters getting him drunk. You know, all these things that the Bible is just littered with. You clean all that up. Thomas Jefferson would have loved that, right? He had that Bible with all those parts cut out. And you just put that together into a shorter document that's got a good outline to it. It's got some fancy John Hancocks on it. And you just say, here's what you really need to know. Here's what Jesus would have wanted you to start with. Don't start in this 50 chapter long book of Genesis. You can just go to this kind of like 12 page long Constitution, and you got what you need, basically, especially in the original language.
Well, our next topic here is, I know some of you probably saw this when it was retweeted, and it's a story of a New York City bishop, which that first of all kind of struck me, but we'll come around back to that for in a second. A bishop named Lamar Whitehead was robbed of $1 million of jewelry during a church live stream. Glory. Oh, my goodness. TJ, is this turnt or burnt?
Well, it's turnt because he's behind the times in like so many ways. Like, you're a bishop. Like, come on. A Catholic church already shut down like 500 years ago. What are you doing? Still being a bishop. Second way he's out of it here, jewelry. So, like, what kind of out-of-touch person has their assets in jewelry right now instead of NFTs? I don't understand why he's put his eggs in that basket. And then thirdly, you're wearing it during the live stream. You could have just gone off camera. You know, you see somebody coming in about to do something embarrassing on your live stream, you shut down the video feed. You don't just keep live streaming that. That feels like a setup to me more than a real situation. I feel for him. I have some of that love of money myself. $1 million would go a long way. But it's not a liquid asset. It's just, that's why it's so frustrating. It's just so old-timey to be live streaming with jewelry on.
You know, I had a similar thought. Number one, if you're a good live streamer, you do have that kill switch, and it's at the ready, because you never know if something's going to happen. Maybe something just slips out or this or that. You just got to hit it with the kill switch. So he didn't have that. So maybe he's just ignorant of the kill switch. And the other thing I'm thinking about is he's a bishop. I played chess a few times. I would have thought by now, if he had that many viewers, he'd be a knight. One more thing is, if you really read between the lines, it says jewelry, which you pointed out. I don't know what's going on in New York City, but if you're a real man of the pulpit, you wouldn't call it jewelry. You just call it gold chains. Gold chains is fine, but when you say jewelry, now we're getting into some other items. I don't know if that's what. Anyway, and so there's a lot going on in that, and there's a lot of problems there. And so I had a lot of sympathy at first, because I've started putting myself in his shoes or put myself in his gold chain. But now that I look at the details, I say this is definitely a burnt story right there. But we're still going to give him our thoughts and prayers. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get real serious now about some things that are happening in the present day that have incredible implications for the end times, in a segment for How Many Four Horsemen. And our first story that we really need to unpack here is some events that took place at the Creation Museum. Now, TJ, have you ever taken a trip over to the Creation Museum?
No, I have. I've been through there. It's in the great state of Kentucky. We're in the Southwest. It's not exactly in the Southeast. I'd almost call it like the South North. But I love going to the Creation Museum, seeing how the Lord created the entire world in 6 days. So I seen this. It was inspiring. I loved it, but I don't understand how the ark could get flooded. That seems wrong to me.
It really is, and I think every YEC-er, young Earth creationist out there who's been to the Creation Museum should be concerned, because if you have flooding, and I know Kentucky had some issues with the flooding, being that it's landlocked, that's one horse right there. Okay, I'm just going to break it up. Just put my cards on the table. That's one horseman right there for a landlocked state getting flooded like that. But to have flooding at the Creation Museum along with that ark is incredibly disturbing to me. But having said that, I think there might have been like a sabotage, because you know how like there's a, when someone starts a fire and it's not God, they call it an arsonist. I feel like someone might have started that flood, because I still believe that his word is true, and he said he wouldn't destroy the earth with a flood again. And so for that reason, I just can't believe that it really is a sign of the end times. So I'm only going to give it 2-4 horsemen.
You know, I respect your opinion on that, and I do want everyone to do their own research to see which fires has God not started this year. I think there's going to be a real gold mine of information that comes from that investigation. Now, I want to know how it came to be that on the one hand they had flood insurance on the ark at the Creation Museum. How faithless do you have to be, okay? So, bro, do you even lift up thine eyes unto the hills whence cometh thy help? Or are you going to buy insurance for the ark, which has its engineering specifications in Scripture? There's only two things in the Bible that have engineering instructions in the Scriptures. That's the tabernacle, and that is the ark. So maybe you could, I don't know, like, replace the pitch on the outside with modern caulking or something. But to me, to say, oh, we didn't need to follow the specifications of the Bible, means you are being unfaithful to the Lord's instructions, and that's why your boat got sunk. Just to add insult to injury, they spotted a rainbow in the sky afterwards. And this calls into question the integrity of the whole Christian-themed amusement park industry, of which we are a prominent part. You know, you don't just hoist this thing up there on stilts and say, well, this can rescue humanity, right? Like, you actually gotta prove it. I want to see a black tar-covered ark running down the Mississippi River every year to prove to people that it can be done.
Amen. And for the exact same reason, we had that fundraiser to get that bronze serpent that we could lift up on our property and have people go and look at it. You know, we want to be able to take those elements that are true and that are powerful and life-changing and bring them into people's, into their vacations, really.
Have the creators of this Kentucky malarkey been unfaithful to the word and yet claimed divine prerogative? Like, they haven't even told us whether they had any animals on the boat when this happened. Like, if I find out there's no animals on the real recreated ark at the Creation Museum, I'm going to go bananas. And I don't even know why they can be saying that they are amusing people into life. They're amusing people to death.
So, DJ, how many four horsemen are you going to give this one?
Well, as far as being about the end times, it's 0 4 horsemen, except that it shows unfaithfulness of so-called Christians. I'm going to call them chinos, Christians in name only. They have been unfaithful to the Lord in this manner, and his righteous wrath and indignation is going to be poured out on these Kentuckians.
So you heard it from TJ. Watch out, Lexington. Watch out, Lex Vegas. Whew, man, that was some spirit-filled preaching right there, my brother.
Speaking of flooding, is the flooding that has occurred in Las Vegas a sign of the end? Does it send our friends over at the Rapture Index indicator website, does it send their score up into the 190s? Does it stay down in the 180s, you know, before the 200 is reached and the rapture occurs? Flooding Las Vegas, is it a sign of the end? And how many four horsemen can we attribute to these events?
Well, you know, when these type of extreme events happen, we have to give credit where credit is due. Now, I mentioned before that there can be arsonists that start fires, and there can be vaporists or waterists that bring about flooding in different places. And we all know that here in Las Vegas, it wasn't a result of someone just pouring a bunch of water around, but it was a result of some storms. So when I think about storms and rumors of storms, that starts, you know, I'm already in my mind, I see one of the four horsemen appear. In terms of giving credit where credit is due, I think I need to just come clean and tell everyone that might have been my fault. I know that I love this city. I feel like I'm a part of this city, and I'm sorry, but I had been doing some deep prayer and asking that I would be able to strike this ground of this city and make the water pour out just as it did for Moses. And I believe on that same time that I prayed that prayer, those rains came. And I don't see it as a meteorological wonder or a once in a decade storm. And I don't see it as a judgment. I see it as a blessing and an answer to prayer. And so for that, I'm going to give it another four horsemen because I'm seeing his ability to raise up prophets in our land in this time. And so I'm going to give it two four horsemen. I don't think it's a judgment type of thing, but I do think it's the Lord raising up prophets, sort of like a, you know how John the Baptist was like an Elijah. I think that we are leading people through the desert like a Moses. And man, I'm getting the hair on the back of my neck is starting to stand up when I just say it and think it. But I'm going to give it two four horsemen. And look out, brother, because I think that he's got something even more for us in this time.
I think we're on the same page here. I just was shocked when I saw that water pouring through the windows of the casinos. You know, people could barely spin the roulette table. It just had so much dirty water on top of it. And the balls are floating. You don't know who's winning, and people are still doing it. But people are floating their chips around. I mean, if anything was an example of how thief and moth and rust will destroy these earthly matters, it was a testimony to me of that. Though I did appreciate, in Las Vegas' defense, that all of that money preserved in casino chips was actually floating around. They made it lighter than water, less dense than water, so that people could gather their chips just like manna from heaven. And as we cast our bread on the waters, we're doing something similar. I never knew what that meant, but this, I think, is a great modern example of that. So I'm going to give this one four horseman. It's a pretty low grade four horseman event. And like you said, you basically just have the rumors guy. You have the like natural disasters guy, but you don't have any of the other ones. We're pretty safe. It's kind of like a drive-by end times in that we don't really have to worry too much about. It wasn't directed at us.
So you heard it here, folks. If we just take the kind of the temperature of the end times, I think we're pretty safe and making a few plans for the next few months, but we're going to keep tracking it. We're going to keep tracking it and bringing in some of them, some of these events, but I think we're good for the next few months at least. What do you think?
I think we are good. We are totally safe and secure, and we are investing our crypto. We are putting all our chips on the board, on the table. We are loving life, and Rudy, we are starting this business we love. Doing what we're doing, we are going to see some heavy spiritual profits. And with that, my dear listeners, our dear listeners, don't want to get selfish here. Our dear listeners, we are so appreciative that you've been with us today. I hope that you do genuinely feel blessed by our new song from our praise bots. This one, Rudy, is something that I haven't listened to because I promised not to interfere with the praise bots. I'm just going to let them do what they're going to do. I'm sure it's something special, though. We're gonna play our way out on this wonderful hymn of the future.
Amen. Well, what a great way to kind of ride this one out. So thank you, dear listeners. As we listen to this song, we just want to say thank you for all that you've done and all that you continue to do for this ministry. And this is Cross Vegas coming to you from Las Vegas city limits. Let's keep Vegas weird.
Yo, sup automated praise fools. This is an automated praise song called Victory Lap from the automated praise bots called Jolene and the Crucifiers.
Fall into your lap, into your victory lap. It's not a trap. No need to flap. But please do clap. The victory lap.
Victory lap.
stronger than the weak. Push your way to the peak. You're doing what God made muscles for. Show these old people to the door. What the heck are the babies crying for? Who cares, because you know that you have a starring role in our brand new Chocolate Jesus show. Fall into your lap, into your victory lap. It's not a trap. No need to flap. But please do clap. The victory lap.
Victory lap.